Welcome to today's deep dive. You know, imagine trying to contain a continuous massive explosion inside a metal box without, like, melting the box.
Yeah.
That is rocket science in a nutshell.
Ooh.
But on August 7, 2026, this Indian aerospace startup called Astrobase dropped a blueprint that kind of fundamentally rewrites the rules on how to do that.
Yeah, it really changes the whole paradigm.
Right. We have their technical specs and engineering blueprints for the newly unveiled Everest rocket engine. And the mission for you today is to decode how this single engine is pushing private Indian aerospace to the absolute international frontier. Okay, let's unpack this.
I am super excited to dig in because when we talk about the absolute frontier of spaceflight right now, I mean, the holy grail is rapid reusability. And Astrobase designed Everest specifically for reusable medium lift rockets targeting over 100 flight cycles per engine.
100 flights is just wild. And to understand how they actually plan to hit that 100 flight goal, we have to look at what they are feeding this beast, which is liquid oxygen and liquid methane. I mean, think about traditional kerosene rocket fuel, like a really messy campfire. It burns hot, sure, but it coats everything in this thick black soot.
Right, which in an engine is called coking.
Exactly. And that soot clogs up the narrow cooling channels, so you need a massive, expensive scrubbing process between every single flight. Methane, on the other hand, burns incredibly clean. No soot, no massive scrubbing.
Well, the benefits of methane actually go well beyond just a clean burn. It is significantly denser than liquid hydrogen, which, you know, normally requires these massive, heavily insulated tanks that just increase aerodynamic drag.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah, and methane also stores at minus 161 degrees Celsius, which is very close to liquid oxygen at minus 183 degrees. That thermal proximity allows them to share bulkheads, which are the dividing walls inside the propellant tanks.
So they don't need entirely separate, heavily insulated sections.
Exactly. It simplifies the rocket's thermal insulation and makes turnaround operations much, much faster on the ground.
Here's the crucial link for you listening, though. Methane's clean burn isn't just nice for ground maintenance. It is the fundamental prerequisite that makes Everest's wildly complex architecture even physically possible. Like, if they use kerosene, the soot would just instantly clog the engine's intricate plumbing.
Yeah, and what's fascinating here is how Everest utilizes that clean fuel through a process called full-flow staged combustion, or FFSC, because to get 800 kilonewtons of thrust, you have to force-feed the engine massive amounts of fuel.
Right, you need serious pumping power.
Exactly. That requires massive pumps, turbo pumps, which are powered by their own mini-engines called pre-burners. Older engines would burn a little fuel to spin these pumps and just, you know, dump that exhaust overboard, wasting energy. Or they would push all the stress onto a single turbine.
But Everest doesn't do that.
No. Everest uses two distinct pre-burners. One runs fuel-rich, and the other runs oxidizer-rich. Because of this dual setup, both propellants enter the main combustion chamber completely as high-pressure gases.
Because they mix as gases, you get an incredibly complete, efficient burn.
You do. And passing the full mass flow of both propellants through these turbines ironically lowers the overall turbine temperatures. Because you are pushing the entire volume of gas through the turbines, you get a massive amount of pushing force without needing to heat the gas to extreme metal melting temperatures.
So more mass means you need less heat to get the same work.
Right. And this extends the engine's lifespan while maintaining huge thrust.
Okay, I have to push back here. If turning everything to gas before it hits the main chamber reduces thermal stress, maximizes efficiency, and extends the engine's life, why isn't every space agency using this dual pre-burner design? It sounds like an obvious choice.
Well, it really comes down to the sheer mechanical difficulty of building it. You are dealing with incredibly high pressures and extreme chemical environments. In traditional machining, you assemble an engine using welds, brazed joints, and fasteners.
And I'm guessing those don't hold up.
No, they don't. Under the intense pressure of an FFSC engine, those joints become points of structural failure. They literally blow apart.
Okay, so if traditional welds and bolts just blow apart under these pressures, how on earth are they building it?
Astrobase completely bypasses traditional welding. They are using India's largest industrial metal 3D printer at their Bengaluru hub to print the internal cooling channels directly into the metal itself.
Wait, really? Just printing the channels inside the solid metal?
Yeah. By using additive manufacturing, they consolidate components and eliminate those weak points entirely. It also rapidly accelerates how fast they can iterate on a design.
That scale of manufacturing is wild, and they aren't just making one bespoke prototype to show off. The sources say they plan to scale up to manufacturing 50 engines a year, setting up to statically test about 20 full-scale production engines at their Anandapur facility. And all of this is driving toward a December 2028 inaugural orbital flight.
It's a highly aggressive roadmap. I mean, they want to hot-fire one engine every week once they reach full capacity, ultimately aiming to sustain low-Earth orbit satellite fleets.
So what does this all mean? It puts India in a very elite global club. Historically, SpaceX has been the primary entity actually flying full-flow staged combustion engines to orbit. Astrobase is positioning themselves right alongside that frontier.
Yeah, it establishes domestic high-thrust reusable propulsion, which is just critical to avoid orbital bottlenecking as global demand for space access skyrockets.
But to make this work, particularly the oxidizer-rich preburner, Astrobase has to master specialized nickel superalloys. An oxidizer-rich environment is so packed with oxygen that normally fireproof metals become highly flammable. The structural metals could literally catch fire, which I'm assuming is generally considered a bad day in rocket science.
Highly suboptimal, yes. You definitely don't want your engine block burning up.
Definitely not. So as you follow their road to 2028, consider this. If they can conquer these extreme metallurgical boundaries to contain that ultra-hot, soot-free campfire in space, how might those newly mastered, indestructible materials soon reshape manufacturing right here on Earth?